On January 10th of this year, folks from St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, Jetta Homes, and other organizations met to break ground in Cimarron Cove subdivision in Paducah, Kentucky. They have been building a home to benefit St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The home they're building this year is going to be 2,800 square foot. And if I heard correctly on the news the other morning, it's going to have a special room with a sunroof. Pretty soon you will be able to tour that home. Last year, $681,000 was raised for St. Jude's Hospital because of the dream home that was built in Cimarron Cove. I think you realize that of every dollar given to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, 81% of that money goes to research and treatment of catastrophic children's diseases. Interesting thing about that home is in 2010 and 2011, a family from Calvert City and a family from Benton, Kentucky actually purchased the ticket that was drawn. And while that home is primarily being built for the benefit of St. Jude's Children's Hospital, they benefited two homes in Marshall County. They call that house dream home. But you know, the desire of our heart this morning should not be just for a family to win a home that they purchased a ticket for a set amount of dollars because the home's going for a good cause. But to actually think about the possibility of every family in Marshall and Callaway County, Graves County, Trigg County, our surrounding counties, imagine what would happen if every family could have a dream home. And that's our desire. So this morning, we're meeting on April 7th, 2013, to break ground on a dream home. Or we're going to begin to remodel the home we thought was going to be our dream home, but it got hit by a flood, a tornado. We've just got some maintenance that needs to be done so we can get it back into the shape that it needs to be so that we can truly call it our dream home. Now, for the next 13 weeks, that's right, 1/4 of this year is going to be dedicated to the building or the remodeling or the enjoyment of our dream home. I hope and pray that you understand when these 13 weeks are over that we're building a dream home. We're remodeling our home for God's glory and for the good of each of our family members. So our purpose in building is not to raise funds for a good cause. The ultimate purpose of our dream home is to bring honor and glory to God. And then a benefit of that kind of home is it's good for mama and for daddy and for the children, for the husband, for the wife. And I want to say, if you would join us here at Hardin in building a dream home or remodeling your home into a dream home, it'll benefit this church. And when it benefits the church, it benefits the community. When it benefits the community, it benefits the state. And ultimately, it benefits the nation. And ultimately, it benefits the world. So what you're doing has huge implications. I think you and I know that new houses and pursuing the American dream, it's the driving force of the American economy. Amen? That's why every month our government publishes a report that tells us how many new house starts there were. And we always compare that to how many there were last month, and then ultimately we compare it to how many there were last year. They even report how many new mortgages were taken out, how many people applied for new mortgage loans on a new house. It's that important to the economy. I read a survey from our government that said The American dream of Americans is still to own their own house. And they give statistic after statistic of sacrifices that people would make to own their own home. I think many of us know and understand that the cause, supposedly, of the Great Recession that started in 2008 was because of a housing bubble that burst. And wow, when that bubble burst, there was a great consequence to many people living in this country. Ultimately, what caused the bubble to burst? People began to build houses who got in situations where they could not make their payments. You realize a sociologist from Harvard University back in 1965 warned us that we better take notice because the traditional American family was eroding. He prophesied that if something wasn't done soon, in the next few decades, it would have a tremendous influence on our country. We are now living in those. I ask you over the next 13 weeks, no matter how painful or profitable or beneficial this sermon series is going to be, please stick it out with us. Invite other family, invite other friends, invite your neighbors to come as we're going to lay out principles week after week of how to build or remodel or enjoy the home of your dreams. Now, you know that when you begin to build a house, if you've ever done that, there are some questions you normally ask before you begin. Agreed? I mean, one of the first questions that you always ask when you get ready to build a house is, where am I going to build it? And then you ask that question, what style of house am I going to build once I decide where I'm going to build it? And then once you have your land and you have your blueprints, you then began to probably ask, who's going to build it? Am I going to hire someone to lock and key this job? Am I going to be the general contractor, use a few subs along the way? Or am I going to be bold and adventuresome? Am I gifted enough that I can do it by myself? And then once we've answered those three questions of where and what, and who, then we got to say and answer the question, when are we going to start? Now, I know some of you are saying, but hold it, Brother Ricky, you left out the big question. I understand. We drive around the community. We decide we want to move from this side of the railroad tracks to that side of the railroad tracks. We want to move from where we started out renting into that subdivision. And ultimately, we ask the question when we see the blueprints, can I afford to build? Amen. Now, isn't it amazing? Normally, it's not we ourselves who decide whether or not we can afford to build or not. Normally, we let the expert on that question be who? The bank. And we sit down in front of a man or a woman that we hardly know, and they look over our dreams, our dream of owning our own home, building a home to our specifications, and ultimately, we let them tell us whether or not we can or cannot afford the home of our dream. I personally think it would be foolish this morning if we did not answer some questions before we start about building the home of our dream. Can I give you some questions that I want you to write down on the back of your bulletin that you need to answer? These questions are ultimately, why do I want to build the home of my dreams? I think it's the most important question. Why do I want to build? Why do I need to remodel the home I live in? Or why am I getting to enjoy my life as it is right now? And we're going to try to answer that question. The second question we've got to ask in this series over the next 13 weeks is this. Where are we going to build? I personally believe you cannot answer spiritually the question of where you're going to build your home until you've answered the question, why are you wanting to build? What's your motivation in building a home? Thirdly, we're going to ask the question of what style of home do we want to build? Because what we're going to discover today is there are many different styles of homes that you can actually choose to build. If you do not have a blueprint that you follow as you start to build, I'm afraid some of us are going to end up with a home that is not what we wanted to have. Fourthly, we're going to ask the question of who's going to build this home? We're living in a society where we're taught to do it yourself. And we're going to answer the question and ask the question, is it a good idea for us to do it all ourselves? Or is it possible we might need some help? Wouldn't it be good to have somebody help us build the parts of the home that we're not skilled in as a husband or as a wife? So we're going to answer the question, who's going to come alongside us and help us actually build this home? And then fifth, we're going to ask this question. When are we going to start? At what age do I need to start thinking about laying down my toys, turning off the TV, change my desire to break the record on the video game, and truly man up and woman up and lay down my toys. Take my toy box and put it in the attic and truly reach for the tools and begin to acquire a toolbox so that I'm ready to start building the home of my dream. Now, if I can say this, there is a big question that I've got to ask this morning. And it's not, can I afford this? My question is, and I'm not sure if this is grammatically correct, but my question is, can I afford not to build the home of our dream? See, after we finish 13 weeks, I don't want anybody in here to ask, can I afford this? Can I do this? I want you to ask the question, can I afford not to do this? What are the serious ramifications if I choose not to build the home of our dreams? Salise and I, in 1980, July 18th, started our life together as husband and wife. Before we got married, we asked that question that everybody asks. Can we afford what we really want? And the answer was no. So as young people, we made a decision. I'm talking about physical house, not home, physical house. And we purchased our first house. It was called a mobile home. We affectionately refer back to our mobile home, as we like to call it. Now we had friends who didn't start out like we started out in a mobile home. They started out in what was called a modular home. Now, if you're on the other side of the tracks and you were never raised on the east side of Callaway County, you may not understand the difference between a modular home and a mobile home. But a modular home was when they brought you a home that was already made. And when they brought it to you, they set it up on blocks. It was hooked to the ground. And you knew you were going to be there a while. Now, if you couldn't afford a modular home, you started out like we did in a mobile home. It had wheels on it. Amen? Now, I got to say, because my family, we were farmers and they taught us to work hard. We didn't start out like a lot of folks on the east side started. A lot of folks on the east side started out in 12 by 60 mobile homes. That means it was 12 foot wide, 60 foot long. Not us. We started out in a 14 by 70 mobile home. Oh, we were the envy of many people. Because when they would come to our mobile home with the wheels, now you couldn't see the wheels because we had underpinning around the wheels. But we had a 3-bedroom. Now, they weren't very big. When you walked in them, you had to back out. You didn't have enough room to turn around. But we had 3 bedrooms. We had a bath and a half in that 14 by 70 mobile home. Now, the reason we bought a mobile home starting out was because we knew when we started, we didn't always want to live where we were living. Make sense? So we bought a home that was on wheels. It could be moved, and we actually moved it one time from Highway 94, right on the Marshall and Callaway County line. We had a Route 1 Hardin address, even though we lived 12 miles from Hardin, and we moved it to Highway 1346 and got our right address, Route 1 Dexter, Kentucky. And we moved that mobile home with a 1086 International tractor. Amen. We just hooked up to it, and we moved it from Highway 94 to Highway 1346. Now, as I was rethinking about that, I think that's one of the problems we're having in our culture. We Christians don't seem to be satisfied in living in a modular home. We want to live in a mobile home. Except the word most of us use for that kind of home is a motor home. Can I just say this to us this morning? Motor homes make great recreational vehicles, but they make lousy homes. And you know what I've been impressed with this week? Is that I think for many of us, even at Hardin, church is more social than it is spiritual. That's why many of us bring our families to church on the first day of the week, and we listen to a message from God. But then Monday through Saturday, we do what we want to do. That's why some of our homes this morning need to be remodeled. Because you've lived that life long enough. And it's just not working. You suddenly sit here this morning and you realize you don't have a home that's really bringing honor and glory to God. You don't have a home that's really benefiting you or the members of your family. It's because I think many of us try to have our family in one place on one day. But then we try to have our family in another place the rest of the week. And that will not work. You cannot continue to send the message to your children that you do it this way on Sunday, but you can do it this way Monday through Saturday. So we're going to talk about how to build from the ground up the home of our dreams. But for those of us who hasn't done it exactly right, for those of us who had the tornado come through and our husband died, and now we're doing it by ourselves, and we've still got three small children, or he left for another woman, and I've now got to get healthy myself, but I've still got three little ones that depend on me. How do you remodel? How do you do it? We're going to try to both build and remodel at the same time. Amen. The purpose of this series in no way is designed to bring condemnation. I hope it brings conviction. But for those of us who need to remodel, I pray we can repent and confess. And for those of us who haven't started yet or are just getting ready to start, man, I hope you'll listen to some folks who have been building for a long time. They've made some mistakes. They've done a few things right. And you can get expert spiritual advice on how to build the home of your dream. See, usually we want to rush out and decide where to build. But as we get ready to leave this morning, I want you to ask this question this week. Why do I want to build a home? Why do I want to remodel? Basically, I believe the question of why I'm building, can it be answered with one of the two following answers. You're either building or remodeling for His glory, or you are building or remodeling for your glory. Amen. I honestly believe the answer to the question why is going to determine what kind of home you're going to have. I can't tell you how many men we have sitting here right now who know that when you started to build a home, which started way back a long time ago when you started to date, or court, whatever you called it, wherever you were born and raised in. Many of us did not do it for His honor and glory. We did it for us. Amen? Life at that time was not all about Him. Life was mostly about me. And I made decisions about me. And you married Him knowing He was making decisions about Him. And now you do not have the home of your dreams because you do not have a home that's about Him. You have a home that's about your husband. Or the reverse. You ladies know in your heart of hearts if your marriage ultimately was about the Lord or it was about you. It affects everything we do. It affects why we date. It affects how we date. It affects who we date. We're going to talk about dating again. I pray that somebody will take the lead in realizing that what may have worked 100 years ago in America is not working today. And it's time we slaughter that sacred cow called dating and truly see if there's not a right way for young couples to start their life that will ultimately bring them to a place to where they honor and glorify God. I can't tell you how many times I see it in a wedding ceremony. Can't tell you how many couples want to begin their marriage in church before God, and they want a message from God, from the pastor. But everything leading up to that message has been about the world. We want a message from God, but music from Garth. I don't understand that. I don't understand why we would let a country music or a pop culture artist tell us what love's about instead of God. You would fire me next week if next Sunday we worshiped with what's played in most weddings. And yet you get mad at me because we don't want them in a wedding. The job you have would be completely different possibly if the desire of your heart was to glorify Him instead of get as much as you can get because the home's about you. It's not too late to remodel. But it's definitely not too late for us to teach a younger generation how to learn from us and God's Word and truly build a home that they can begin with and it not be mobile, but it be modular and it be on the right foundation and it be a home that brings honor and glory to God. Will that home keep the tornadoes away? Will it keep the floods away? Absolutely not. But I promise you, it will be the best possible home that can be built. And so once we answer that question as a man and as a woman of why I want a home, and that's to bring honor and glory to God, then I can quickly answer the question of where am I going to build it? And I believe today you got two choices. You got the choice of building your home on the solid rock of the Word of God or the sifting sand and the shifting sand of pop culture. Amen. Would you turn your attention to the screen as we read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27? I know contextually this is speaking about responding to Jesus' words in his famous Sermon on the Mount. But this principle applies to every area of a Christian's life when we're confronted with the Word of God. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Verse 27 says, "And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We can either be wise in where we build our home or we can be foolish. You can build your home on the Word of God, and it'll be like building your house on a rock. Or you can build it on the shifting sand of pop culture. And when that tornado comes, and when that windstorm comes, and when that rain comes, and the floodwaters rise, it will fall. And when it falls, great will be its fall. This morning, how many of you men truly want to build or remodel a home, your home, and your purpose being for His glory? How many of you wives honestly would like to join with your husband and build a home or remodel your home, and it be a home? It's not about you, and it's not about the kids, but it's about the glory of God. Then will you make a decision that I'm going to build my house, my home, on the authority of the Word of God? Let's begin to break ground on the home of our church. Father, thank you for the blessing of these babies, for the blessing of these families. Father, we're going to talk about the most important, the most basic institution of society, and that's the home. Father, all of us who have a physical house know that, man, from time to time, it's remodeled. From time to time, there's maintenance got to be done. And every one of us know there's just certain rooms in our house that if we could do it differently, we wouldn't have done it the way we did it. That didn't mean we were a failure as a house builder, so we don't want anyone to see themselves as a failure as a home builder because we didn't do everything right. But boy, let us understand that our homes aren't finished yet. And it's still time to build or remodel so that one day we will enjoy a godly home. Father, we praise you. Bring us back to answer the questions of what style, who's going to help us, and when we're going to get started. And then help us as we, for the next 12 weeks, build or remodel the home of our dreams. In your son's name we pray. Amen.